for time. There's quite a bit here that I want to share with you. But let me remind you quickly to support us, if you would, with your tithe and offerings here in the worship room, across the internet. We need your help. Whenever you give to this ministry, the money goes to propagate the gospel. And we have the gospel now through our online webcast and through the radio. It goes around the globe. In fact, our audience in Europe is much bigger than our audience here in the U.S. And so when you give to this ministry, it makes the gospel that you hear every week, that same gospel goes across all of the airways. And so please remember to support us today. Matthew chapter 26. I want to share with you this morning a message that I've entitled Pressure, Praise, and Prayer. Pressure, praise, and prayer. I can look at some of you this morning and I can see that your life is under pressure. I can see maybe it's your job, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your physical health, maybe it's your family. But we have, as Christians, we have pressure always on us, and sometimes the pressure can become very, very severe. And so this morning I want to share with you an episode in the life of Jesus as he moves through the greatest pressure point that any human being has ever or will ever move through. And that is the moments that he lived as he approached Calvary. Now understand something about Jesus. When he came here, he always knew that he came to die. He always knew that his life would be ended and would be ended on a Roman cross. It's something as a human being, the man Christ Jesus, he had to carry that with him all of the time. When Peter cut the man's ear off when they were arresting him, and Jesus picked the ear up and put it back on the man's head and healed him, at that moment, he knew that that man would lead him to the cross to die. Now, we know that Jesus is God, but we have to also recognize that he's 100% man. Everything you and I feel emotionally, physically, he would and did feel the same exact thing. And so I want to begin this as he's sitting at what is we refer to as the Last Supper. It is what has now the communion that we partake in as a model of what he did in the Last Supper. Matthew 26, I'm going to begin reading with verse 26. This is less than 24 hours before he goes to the cross. Verse 26 says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin.'" Let's pray and acknowledge the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you for your presence, Lord, amongst us. We thank you for the moving and the operation of your Spirit. We'd ask you firstly that you would bless all those that support this ministry, that we may take the gospel around the world and in the local community. We ask you to bless those lives, bless those families, bring it back upon them in such a way that they'll know that God has rewarded their faithfulness. And Father, I pray now for the message that you would anoint my lips and the ears of your people, that you cause me to speak with clarity, that your people might see the two great weapons that you've given us in times of pressure. Father, I pray it all and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. So as we look at this scenario play out, we see Jesus sitting there having, really it was the Passover meal that he had to eat early because he would be on the cross as the Passover lamb. And in the middle of the dinner, he just picks up bread and says, "Hey, this is my body." Realizing that his body within 24 hours was going to be broken. It was going to be the lashes laid on his back, the crown of thorns on his head, the nails through his wrists and ankles as he's nailed. He knew this was going to happen within 24 hours. Can you imagine what kind of pressure that is? He knew that in just a short amount of time, he would be the sin sacrifice for the world, and that God Almighty would turn his back on him as he hung there being made a curse for you and I. Can you imagine that pressure? And he takes the bread and he shows it to the disciples and said, this is my body which is broken for you, realizing my body is going to be broken in just a few short moments. Then he takes the cup and he says, this is the blood of the New Testament, realizing that his blood would be poured out as it was for the sacrificial lambs through the Levitical process. This is the pressure that he lived under, and he's within just a few hours of this happening. But then as we move down to verse 30, we see something that we can't let it escape us. It says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. So before he moves into this terrible process, he stopped with his disciples and he had a worship service. He sung what is called the Hallel. It's Psalms 113 to 116. Those are songs, actual songs. And him and the disciples, they sang and they praised and they worshiped God during this time of trial. I think in the minds of many Christians, we don't associate prayer with pressure. We don't really associate that the time that we're under pressure, that's when you need to praise God the hardest. If you want the victory does not come through victimhood. Oh, hear me today. We got a nation of victims. Everybody's a victim. When somebody has a victim mentality, I feel nothing. Because I've chosen, I'm not going to be a victim. I'm going to be a praiser. I'm going to be somebody that acknowledges God for his wonderful works. Bad things happen to all of us. But you don't have to have your head hung down. Put your head up. Put your chest out. You're a child of the King. And so in times of pressure, that's the times that you need to praise God if you want the victory. When Moses passed away and the power went to Joshua to lead God's people into the promised land. And I'm pulling this up from memory. I think it was 31 nations in a row. Joshua led the armies of Israel. They took every last one of them with the exception of Ai. Every one of them without losing a man. Oh, but the pressure built as they came to the walls of Jericho. Jericho was a fortified city. It was massively fortified, militarized. There was no way these Hebrew slaves were going to take Jericho. And God told him, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk around the city 7 times, day after day. And on the certain day, they walked around the city. Everybody give a shout for the Lord. And without a spear being thrown, without an arrow being shot, the walls of the city just fell down by the power of God. That's because the people were willing to praise in a time of pressure. See, many times we get under pressure. The last thing, we can't get a praise in because we're so busy complaining. And as this nation has moved further and further away from God, if you watch the political climate, you see that we are now a nation of victims. Everybody's a victim of something. I'm not a victim of nothing. Amen. You can put me in the worst situation. It may take me a little while, but I'm going to rise to the top. I'm coming up out of that situation because I realize I'm a child of the King. And part of that coming up out of the situation is you've got to learn how to praise God under pressure. It's been a number of years now. I don't really know how many, 20 or more. I had a daughter, not older than Shekinah, about 10 years older than Shekinah. And we came home one day and my daughter was dead. She had never been sick, healthy as a horse. At 21 years old, she died of natural causes. My wife and I walked into the house and we went to greet my daughter and greet the puppy dog that we had. And my wife started screaming and I ran up there and I looked in my daughter's eyes and I could see she's gone. She's gone. And in that moment, instinctively, I grabbed my wife's hands because she was screaming. And we began to call on God. We begin to worship him right there in the midst of that trial. And I tell you, something supernatural happened. It was no stars, no thunder, no lightning bolts, nothing like that. But there was an undercurrent of the power of God that came into our lives. That as we moved through that horrific trial, the darkest moment of my life personally, we went to the funeral home to make the arrangements, and my wife and I are sitting at the conference table and we're laughing and giggling. I mean, there's no sadness at all. Now, we cried. Don't get me wrong. We cried tears, real tears. But there was still a strength that came up under us. And the saints would come to console us and we would end up consoling them. Because we made a decision. We're not going to be victims of whataboutism or how did this happenism. But we're going to say, God, you are still God. And she may be gone, but you're still on the throne. And we worshiped him in that moment, and he gave us the victory. But many times we won't praise him, we won't worship him. Now, there's a difference between praise and worship. You praise him because of the works, his mighty works. If you go back when Moses came across the Red Sea on dry land, and Pharaoh's armies tried to follow him, and the same dry land that the Hebrews walked across, Pharaoh's armies were drowned. And Miriam, Moses' sister, she turned around and she saw that. She grabbed a tambourine. And the sisters began to praise God. And they made up the lyrics of the song on the spot. This wasn't a song they already had. They made them up as they was going. That's how hard they was praising God. So you praise God for his mighty works. But when you walk into the room and your baby's dead, you're not looking at his mighty works or what he's allowed to happen. You have to worship him because you know who he is. And there's times you have to, sometimes you can't understand the movement of his hands. It's too complex. And you just have to worship him because you know his heart, because of who he is. But if we would remember those two key elements, praise and worship in the time of trial. When the trial happens, God will give the victory even in the time of pressure. Now we look at that and we say, well, that was Jesus. Of course he's going to do it for Jesus. Well, Jesus was a man. As well as God, he was 100% man. At the same time, he was 100% God. He laid aside his expression of deity while he kept possession of the deity, but he didn't act as God. But you can say, okay, well, that was Jesus. Well, let's look at Paul and Silas. And in the book of Acts, chapter 16, we have another scenario that played out. Verse 22 says, and the multitude rose up together against them, against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates rent off their clothes, ripped their clothes off of them in pressure. I mean, in public, that's a little bit of pressure, isn't it? I mean, that's humiliating. Okay, stop for a minute. Let your mind realize what it would be like if somebody in a public setting ripped your clothes off of you. That's pressure. And on top of that, commanded to beat them. You know, whoop them in public. And then when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. This was probably a cave in the ground where they could make sure that nobody could get them out. And on top of that, they made their feet fast in the stocks. Now look at all of the things that happened. They rent off their clothes. They beat them publicly. They laid many stripes upon them. They threw them into the prison. Then they threw them into the inner prison, which was cold and dank. And at midnight, meaning this is the darkest hour for them. How many's gone through a trial that just got darker and darker? And you don't know what to do. Let me tell you what to do. Right there is where you need to praise God. Right there is where you need to worship God. And the next line says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. It's counterintuitive. It's not what the human thought process would think, that praise God now. Yes, praise God now. You're already in the trial. What you got to lose? What you got to lose? Ain't nothing else going to work for you. You praise God at that time, and the prisoners heard them. And verse 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. Now, catch this now. It's not by coincidence that the earthquake occurred. It didn't occur before they praised God. When they were getting beat, it didn't occur. When they were getting thrown into the prison, the earthquake didn't occur. When they were put in stocks, the earthquake didn't occur. But when in that terrible pressure place, they began to praise God, there was an earthquake that shook. The foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately, all the jails opened up by themselves. Is that amazing? That's when you praise God in a time of pressure. Wait a minute, though. All the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosened. That means God undid the handcuffs off of everybody. The stocks just flew off all by themselves. Now that happened as they began to praise God at midnight. Says you and I, we go through midnights. We go through times where the trial is, there's more pressure than we really want to be under. There's so much pressure sometimes it can be almost like Jesus in Gethsemane. You're saying, God, not my will, but thy will be done. My will is not to go through this. Is it? If there be any way possible, let this cup pass. The pressure can come that hard. That's the time to praise God. Jesus sung hymns just before he went into this terrible situation. So praise is a weapon that you have. And let me bring it home for a moment. Sometimes we can have pressure on our households, pressure on our marriages, pressure on our families. And instead of opening your mouth, open it with praise. In that time when you're getting ready, you know when you talk, you're causing a problem. Come on, y'all. You know, if you just speak out of your heart sometimes, you're causing the issue. But in that moment, just begin to praise God. Just begin to worship him. Begin to magnify him. Don't look at everything bad that's happening. You know, when Paul and Silas was in prison, they wasn't looking at the scars on their backs. They wasn't looking at their feet dangling through the stocks. They weren't looking at each other as smut and suffering the cold. They were looking at God and who he is. And they began to praise him. And that's what you and I have to learn. The situations are always going to, bad situations are always going to happen. You until you leave this planet, bad things are going to happen. And good things. But when a bad thing happens, it's temporary. God is eternal. Don't make your temporary thing permanent. That's good preaching right there. See, when we take on the mentality of victimhood, we make a temporary situation permanent. Okay. What was it, 500 years ago, there was slavery in this country? Well, that shouldn't be a permanent thing on our mind right now. Praise God. You go back to your forefathers and those who were slaves. My grandmother was a slave. You go back, they'll tell you, child, live your life. We paid the price. Why are you still paying the price now? Praise God. We take a temporary thing and we make it permanent. Loose those bands off of you. And how do you do that? You begin to acknowledge him for who he is. And as your eyes are open, you begin to see what he's doing in your life. The provision, daily provision. He loadeth us down daily with benefits. You begin to see them. And realize, man, God is a good God. He is a wonderful Savior. So that's one thing that we have to learn to do is praise God when the pressure is on your life. I know this morning it's easy. We got a $200,000 sound system. We got talented musicians and vocalists here. It's easy to praise God in the sanctuary. Well, for some of us. Some of us can't praise God right here. You know you can't praise God in the trial. But when you learn how to praise God here, when the trial comes, it will automatically just begin to roll up out of your heart. So the first thing is to learn how to praise God in the time of pressure. The second thing is to learn how to pray in the time of pressure. Now, most Christians have no prayer life. As a matter of fact, really can't pray well just to even bless our food. One sister blessed the food. She said, rise, Peter, slay and eat. Amen. But you know, when you realize that this is a provision from God, I can just eat an apple and I will take a moment to tell God, Lord, I thank you for making this apple. Lord, I don't know how your wisdom is so vast that you can make my nerves to taste the goodness that you put in this apple. And you can really have a whole session there just thanking God for something as simple as an apple. But as we return to Matthew 26 and verse 36, it says, then cometh Jesus with them, with the disciples, unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. So he gets up after the Last Supper with his disciples. He goes to Gethsemane. And Gethsemane, the definition of the word, the meaning of the word Gethsemane is oil press. It's where the olives were pressed until the oil came out of them. It's a place of pressure. So he rose from the Last Supper, and he walks further into this pressure situation because he's headed to the cross. And it says, he said to his disciples, sit right here while I go yonder and pray. Now, that's important. I love community prayer. I love when the saints get together on Tuesday night and pray. Get tonight during the prayer sets that we have quarterly, and we come together and pray. Or even the first Fridays, we come together at midnight and we pray until midnight. I love community prayer. But there are some times I need to go yonder. There's some times I don't need anybody around me. I need to spend some time alone with God. And my alone time is way greater than my public prayer time. See, that's what we need now. Saints, thank God for community prayer, but every last one of us need to find ourselves alone with God. We need to go yonder. There are times I come in, I've always done this. I've always, since I was a young Christian, I'd come to the church, I'd get a key from the pastor. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd get a key from the pastor, and I'd come to the church at off hours and just walk the floor and talk to God. And how many do we have that pray while you're walking? Does anybody do that? Have you ever noticed that as you get more fervent, you're walking faster? And there are times I'm almost running across this floor as I'm caught up in the Holy Ghost, praying verbally, tears rolling down my face, entering into a place with God. Sometimes you have to go yonder. And in the time when you're under pressure, you don't need to share it sometimes with everybody else. Sometimes that thing needs to be between you and God. Say, God, I'm your child. I'm not just a member of the church. I'm your individual child. You saved me. You've sanctified me. And I need you to help me. You told me, God, to come boldly to the throne of grace and cry out for help and mercy in the time of need. And so here I am. So here I am. And I need that help. See, let me tell you something. If you can't pray by yourself, you can't pray at all. See, when you pray by yourself, it takes away all the external status of being a person of prayer. When you're by yourself, don't nobody see that, don't nobody know about that. That's just you and God. There's a time that all of us need to go yonder. Verse 39, it says, and he, Jesus, went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, this little phrase, he went a little further, meaning he separated himself from the other disciples and he fell on his face. Now, the English really doesn't bring out the beauty of what is in the Greek. If you read Kenneth Wiest's word study, Kenneth Wiest was a Greek scholar, and he did word studies on the whole gospel. And he says this phrase, what it really means is that Jesus fell and he kept on falling. It means that he would fall in anguish while he's praying about this pressure on him. He would struggle back to his feet and he'd fall again. And he'd get back up and he'd fall again because the pressure of Calvary was squishing him. It was heavy upon him. And sometimes when we get in a pressure situation, we need to get down to business with God. Amen. When you know, they draw the picture with the moonlight shining down on Jesus and he's leaning against the rock. It's a heavenly prayer. That's not what this episode is about. He's struggling in prayer. And there comes a time when the pressure comes upon your life. If you were struggling in prayer, you wouldn't have to struggle with the flesh. If you would struggle getting a hold of God, I mean pressing in to touch him. And the content of his prayer was, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, not as I will, but thy will be done." That means the pressure has brought him to a place that his will is now different than the will of his Father. Now, I want you to just think for a minute. The last pressure you went through, it can change your mind. Come on. When pressure comes on your life, you're starting to look around. You're looking for an escape route. But nevertheless, he prayed here, and he said, in essence, he's saying, "God, it's pressure, but I am determined to do your will. I'm determined to deny my own will and to do your will." Now, if there's one of the gospel writers that wrote one detail that makes this whole story make sense. So if you would just turn to Luke 22, it's the exact same story, the exact same place in the timeline chronologically. Luke 22 and verse 32, same story. He explains it this way, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel." There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. If you would dare to pray in the time of pressure, the strength of the Lord will lift you up. He said, "When you are weak, I am strong." But oftentimes when we in pressure, the only thing we're praying is, "God, how do I get out? How do I escape?" And sometimes the route of escape is to endure the pressure, to endure it and let it bring Christ in you to the top. Let it bring your salvation to the top. Listen, look at Job's life. When Job was under pressure, he said, "Lord, though you slay me, I'm not changing my mind on this. I'm going to stand and I'm going to withstand. I don't care if I die right here, right now, I'm going to stand." Look at the patriarch Jacob. It says he was alone coming back from Padanaram. He was alone. And he wrestled with God all night long, wrestling in prayer. And finally he said, "Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me." Come on, that's sometimes we need that mentality in the time of pressure. "God, I'm not letting you go. I'm not pressing into this place of prayer. I'm not releasing you, God, until you bless me." And it's God's good pleasure to bless us if we're in the Spirit. It was like when Moses, when the fiery serpents was in the camp, and Moses came to God and said, "Lord, remove the fiery serpents. The people repent." They said, "Just get rid of the fiery serpents." And in essence, God said, "Nope, not doing that. But I'm going to give you a way of escape. I'm going to put a brazen serpent upon a pole. And if you look up in faith at that brazen pole, which was the type of Christ," he said, "the serpent can bite you all day long, but it can't make you sick." Think about that. You had people, the Bible said much of Israel died from these snake bites. But you had other folks like Joshua and them walking around, snake hanging off their leg. It didn't even bother them. they're getting bit again and again and again. It doesn't have any impact on them at all. So there comes a time we need to be praying. God has the strength. It's not like he has a shortage of strength. It's not like he can only bless five of us and no more. He can bless all of us. So in closing, I'll leave you with this last passage. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is instructing us, chapter 4, verse 6, "Be careful," that is, "be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When the pressure comes, we have these two pillars, praise and prayer, and it will carry us through the storm. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for laying out in the gospel so clearly, Lord, as we read it for understanding. Lord, we see so clearly that you are our great example, that no matter how heavy the pressure gets, no matter how heavy the trial gets, that, Lord, if we seek for the old path, we find that it'll work. If we'll praise you and worship you for who you are, and if we'll pray, oh God, to ask you for your intervention, that we can have the victory. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet if you're able this morning? It's never going to be intuitive to praise in the time of pressure, and it's not intuitive really to pray in the time of pressure. But these are the way that we overcome. So right now, I just want you to lift your hands to heaven. Whatever pressure point is upon your life right now, bring that right to the top. Come on, and just right now, just begin to praise God right now. See, that's one of the issues, is that we can't open our mouths and articulate a praise. Come on, just this morning, say, God, I praise you for your mighty works from the foundation of the earth. You have always showed yourself to be good. You've always showed yourself to be kind. Lord, even while we were yet sinners, your goodness sent your Son. And I praise you, God. I praise you for your mighty works. I worship you, O Lord, for who you are. You are the Almighty. You are the Ancient of Days. You are the first cause. God, you spoke the worlds into existence by the word of your power. And I worship you now for who you are. Come on, just give him praise this morning. Just give him praise.
Father, we thank you, Lord. Help us to understand that the pressure is not meant to break us, Lord. The pressure is meant for us to look up and reach out to you. It's meant to change us in that situation, Lord. It's meant to change our mind and our focus, Lord, that although we are in a difficult time, although we are under pressure, Lord, it's meant to strengthen us, Lord. It's meant to strengthen our faith so that we no longer focus on the things that are around us. We no longer focus on the circumstance, Lord, but we focus on who you are. The circumstance can change, Lord, but you don't change. And Father, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your presence, for your power, for who you are, Lord, in our life. We thank you for the pressure that you endured before going on the cross, Lord, for allowing the Father's will to be done in your life, Lord. Help us to have that same zeal in our life, to let that pressure bend our will so that we be obedient to your will, knowing that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. And this pain that we're feeling now is just for a moment. It's for a moment, Lord. Father, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Were you blessed by the word? Amen. Well, we do thank you so much for being out with us this morning. I do have a few announcements. Of course, if you haven't had a chance to give, we do need your help. There's baskets in the back. You can give on the kiosk as well. We will not have Bible class this Wednesday, but it'll be the following Wednesday, October 1st. So no Bible class this week. But we do have movie night on Friday. So if you are able, please come out and join us. That's going to be at 7 p.m. And feel free to bring a pillow and a blanket, and just, it's going to be a relaxed time. We're just going to come out and enjoy the movie and have a good time in fellowship. And I believe that is the last announcement, but we thank you again so much for being with us. God bless you, and you are dismissed.